Elizabeth Elliot says, "It takes a steadfast heart to allow the Lord to let His will be done in us. But I want that kind of heart. I want His will with all my heart." Elizabeth adds, "I say it to Him over and over. Lord, do anything you want with me, at any cost. Work your will in me." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Music of His Promises, Listening to God with Love, Trust, and Obedience. As you seek a closer walk with Jesus Christ, thank you for joining us for another challenge from Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you today about not according to expectation. The Lord of the universe does things according to His own holy will. He is inscrutable, as my husband Addison Leach, who was a philosopher and a theologian, used to say, "You'll never unscrew the inscrutable." And as Evelyn Underhill wrote, "If God were small enough to be understood, He would not be big enough to be worshipped. If God were small enough to be understood, He would not be big enough to be worshipped." And some of us, if we think we can understand God, probably have too small a God. But this God of the universe loves us, and He comes to us in His own way, not in ours necessarily. When we put our trust in Him, we put our trust in Him. Just as if you have to have surgery for a brain tumor, you are going to put yourself in the hands of somebody who knows what he's doing. You leave it up to the surgeon who's going to remove the brain tumor. There's no input in a case like that, is there? You would choose someone, if possible, that you trust. The same thing would be true for a small job like a plumbing job, which can seem like a very important job if the sink is stopped up and everything's overflowing. It can seem like a major emergency. You call somebody that you trust, and you leave it up to him to do the job right. When we trust God, we are putting ourselves in His hands. We are turning over to Him the rights and saying, "Lord, take charge. Be Lord. Be sovereign in my life. I surrender to you the authority." Just today, I got a letter from someone who was deploring the fact that Elizabeth Elliot, who has finally gotten on to a religious broadcast, and this person seemed to think that it was rather unusual for women to be on religious broadcasts, how unfortunate it was, she felt, that Elizabeth Elliot has capitulated to the party line of surrender, as she called it. Well, if she wants to call it a party line, she's free to do that, but Elizabeth Elliot certainly didn't get that party line out of her own head or from her own temperament or preferences. And of course, when I speak of surrender, I'm not speaking of just anybody and everybody surrendering to anybody and everybody. Not on your life. I'm speaking primarily of surrender to the Lord who made me. It makes sense to me that if God made me, then He knows how to run me. He knows what His purpose was in making me, and it's in following the manufacturer's instructions that we usually find things work best. You know the old saying, when all else fails, read the directions. Unfortunately, that's the way a lot of us regard God, too. We don't pay any attention to what He has said by way of direction until we're in big trouble. When everything else has gone to pot, things have fallen apart and nothing else has worked, then we think, "Oh, well, I guess I could give faith a try, or I'll give prayer a try, or maybe I need to go back to church." And mercifully, God meets us where we are. Can't imagine where else He would ever meet us, can you? God is merciful. We have to put ourselves in His care. And so I've talked about surrender. I have talked about the prayer that I prayed years ago, turning my life over to Jesus. If He was my Savior, I began to understand that he had to be my Lord. That makes sense. One who died for me, and who saves me from my sin, and who gives me a ticket to heaven, to put it rather crudely, surely is the one who can give direction and guidance to my life, so that I need not be floundering in a sea of confusion and uncertainty. I can have a captain, a pilot, who will show me the way. I love the old hymn, "Jesus, Savior, pilot me over life's tempestuous sea. Unknown waves before me roll, hiding rock and treacherous shoal. Chart and compass come from thee. Jesus, Savior, pilot me." But it is not by any means always according to our expectations. In the novel that I wrote called No Graven Image, I describe a young woman's expectations of how missionary work is supposed to go, and her surprise at finding that there was an unexpected sameness in the weeks that followed her getting settled. There had been a nice sequence of events, getting acquainted, visiting, contact, witness, a few conversions, language work, and she was hoping to get into the translation of the Bible. Suddenly, it seemed as though everything was at a standstill. There were obstructions, delays, interruptions. It almost was like one of those nightmares in which your feet are nailed to the ground. Is there anyone listening to me today who feels as if his feet are nailed to the ground? You can't make the moves you want to make. Nothing seems to be working. Everything seems to be against you. There's a story in the 6th chapter of Judges that tells about a similar situation. The angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite. His son Gideon was threshing wheat in the winepress so that he could get it away from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord showed himself to Gideon, and he said, "You are a brave man, and the Lord is with you." And then we find Gideon arguing with an angel. Do you think you'd have the guts, the chutzpah, to argue with an angel? And he says, "But pray, my Lord, if the Lord is really with us, why has all this happened to us? What has become of all those wonderful deeds of his of which we have heard from our fathers when they told us how the Lord brought us out of Egypt? The Lord has cast us off and delivered us into the power of the Midianites." In other words, Gideon had an idea of how things were supposed to work if God was really in charge, and those things were not according to his expectations. So the Lord turned to him and he said, "Go and use this strength of yours to free Israel from the power of the Midianites. It is I that send you." Gideon said, "Pray, my Lord, how can I save Israel? Look at my clan. It's the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's family." Gideon was saying to the angel of the Lord, "You've picked the wrong nation. You've picked the wrong clan. You've picked the wrong family, and I'm the least in that family. Who, me? You can't possibly mean me." And the Lord said, "I will be with you. I will be with you. It doesn't matter who you are. What matters is that I will be with you, and you shall lay low all Midian as one man." So Gideon's still dubious. He says, "If I stand so well with you, give me a sign that it is you who speak to me. Please don't leave this place until I come with my gift and lay it before you." So he went in, and he prepared a kid and made some cakes and put meat in a basket and brought broth in a pot and came out and served it to the angel under the terebinth. And the angel of God said to him, "Take the meat and the cakes, put them here on the rock, and pour out the broth." So he did that. Then the angel of the Lord reached out the staff in his hand and touched the meat and the cakes with the tip of it. Fire sprang up from the rock and consumed the meat and the cakes, and the angel of the Lord was no more to be seen. Gideon had made an offer to God, to the angel of the Lord that represented God, and the angel didn't make quite the use of that offering that Gideon undoubtedly expected. Here he was touching it, making it disappear, and he himself disappeared. But Gideon knew then that it was the angel of the Lord, and he said, "Alas, Lord God, then it is true. I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. Well, it's a long story. It's a wonderful story about Gideon. But I love this introduction where he argues with the angel. He says, "Why has all this happened to us? How can I save Israel? If I stand so well with you, give me a sign." And then, in utter surrender, he says, "Alas, it's true. I have seen the Lord face to face." But the Lord said to him, remember that the angel has disappeared, so I can only assume that it's a voice of the Lord that says to him, "Peace be with you. Do not be afraid. You shall not die." Maybe you're in the position today where you're saying, "Well, if the Lord was really with me, this would never have happened. How can I save Israel?" Is God saying, "Go and use this strength of yours to do so and so," and you're saying, "What strength, Lord? Me? I don't have any. You picked the wrong family. You picked the wrong person." And the Lord is saying, "I will be with you. I will be with you." That's really all that matters, isn't it? We're talking about a sovereign God who loves to use the weak things. He loves to make the wisdom of men look like foolishness, and the weakness of men look like strength. That's the way God operates, because he's sovereign, because he knows how to make something out of nothing. He knows how to get done what he wants done in his way. It will not be according to our expectations, but it's a lesson in trust. He says, "Trust me. Trust me. One day, you'll understand the whole thing."
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.